Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the press. It's our Tuesday show this week. We're going to talk about the model for the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches, which is just far too long of a title. I'm hereby trying to get a movement started to abandon and force tournaments to get rid of prepositional phrases in tournament names. Just call it the Cognizant Classic. I know it's not the Honda Classic. I know it's the Cognizant Classic. I also know it's in the Palm Beaches. Can we just stop? I didn't know there were multiple Palm Beaches. I knew there was West Palm, so maybe I did learn something there. But can we just, it's the Cognizant Classic or the Honda. I'm cool with that too. They're not the sponsor anymore. I don't care. It's still the Honda. So we're going to go over the model for the tournament today. We're going to go over horses for courses, course fit, current form, all the usual goodies. And I kind of have to premise everything that I'm saying on today's show as, what typically happens is we'll do the Monday show, right? We'll kind of look at the opening lines. And you've got some guys in mind, right, based on recent performance or course history. And you just know them because you either knew they won the tournament or if they got close or they're playing well right now or they played really well last week or the last time that you saw them. And you're inclined to kind of go look for them. And that usually what winds up happening is that the modeling and the research tells you that those first thoughts are pretty good. I mean, they may not be perfect, but they're usually sound, right? They're not totally misplaced. They're not insane. And I feel like after running all the research today, I didn't come away with that feeling. I felt actually a little bit more confused about this week. And I think that goes back to what we talked about yesterday and the show that wound up coming out today because I had some editing issues and I'm sorry about that. But the nature of PGA National Champion Course being just a random venue, that there's so much bad stuff out there on that golf course that, not that it's a bad golf course, there are just a lot more highs and lows that can come from water being everywhere and the wind pushing lots of balls toward the water, into the water, around the water, 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 right? So let's start with a model and then we'll try to kind of figure out the rest from there. Keeping in mind that some of the guys we talked about yesterday as being potential values, like Ryan Fox and Matty Schmidt, guys I would bet on principle because I think they're not being priced correctly. They're probably going to be separate from this model because neither of them are playing especially well, and Ryan Fox doesn't have a whole lot of PGA Tour data that will really be helpful in the model to begin with. So keep those guys to the side, then we'll kind of take this other stuff separately. All right, here we go. Top 10 in the model this week. And I think this is fascinating because the nature of the changing nature of the PGA Tour with LIV guys gone. And I'm not saying that a lot of LIV guys would have played this event. Maybe Tyrrell Hatton would have. But John Rahm wouldn't. Adrian Ronk might have. But he was just starting on the PGA Tour, so he wouldn't have been here. There are guys like that where you're like, golf kind of misses some of the, the PGA Tour kind of misses some of those guys in better visibility events. And then they have them live, right? And at the same time, you're noticing that the turnover is already happening. Like the players that left, they're doing the live tour thing, but they've been replaced already. Like it's already happening. So here it is with the model. All right, number one, Rory McIlroy. Not surprising. Matt Fitzpatrick, number two. Also not surprising. Russell Henley, number three. Now, I'm going to indict my own model a little bit here because obviously I look at strokes gained. I look at strokes gained purely, just strokes gained total and quality strokes gained, which is a multiplier based on your competition. I look at that in 1 and 2 year windows. I look at the tournament the last 3 years. And this week, I actually decided to make a change to the model. Typically, I've been doing strokes gained average over the last 5 tournaments. I'm going to expand that. I'm going to try for a couple weeks at 10 tournaments. I want to see if that makes any notable difference. But all being about strokes gained, right? And I still think that is the absolute best measure of the long haul. But then you get guys like Russell Henley, who are third, who gain a lot of strokes, who are very good players, but don't win much. And you're trying to identify a winner. And on one hand, yeah, he's the third best player because of his capacity to perform. But that doesn't make him a winner. Does that make sense? So he's 25-1, third in my modeling, and I would just skip right past him. I don't think he's going to win this week. Do I think he's playing well, and he played well at Sony, and he could play well this week? Is he a good top 5 or 10? Sure, I could sign up for all of those things, but there's no way you catch me dead betting Russell Henley to win the golf tournament this week. It's just not happening. Number 4 is Sungjae Im. Number 5 is Eric Cole, which I probably will have some action on. Keith Mitchell's number 6. I'm probably going to go Keith Mitchell as well. Shane Lowry, 7, popular pick this week. I don't hate it. Alex Noren, 8th. Matthew Pavon, 9th. Denny McCarthy, 10th. Again, Denny McCarthy, probably not a great fit for this golf course. He's not the best driver of the golf ball. And yes, he has an incredible short game. And short game matters here quite a bit. We're going to get to that course fit. But I don't think that reliance on short game, because you're going to miss a lot of greens, right? That necessarily makes Denny a solid pick. Jake Knapp's 11th, been playing great, limited set of results, played 9 times on the PGA Tour. He's 1-1, you know, he's gonna rank high. Billy Horschel, 12th, which is kind of crazy, but again, thinking long haul, not short term. He's 80-1, not playing the best in the short term. Corey Conner's 13th, Ben On 14th, it is Ben On week. Cam Young, 15th. Some other guys you may want to point out that I think are kind of interesting. Tom Kim's 23rd, because he just kind of wavers a little bit too much. JT Poston is 32nd. I really like him this week. Minwoo, 33rd. There's Sepp Straka. Again, very much a variable guy. He's either all or nothing. He's 39th in the model. Guy I do want to point out that I probably will have some action on this week, and I'll explain in a little while, is Maverick McNealy. 46th in the model, 100-1. I'm willing to get in there. Now, let's go look at tournament history. Let's go look at current form, and let's try to identify some guys based on that. So let's look at event finish history. Last 5 years of this tournament, it's been played at PGA National and the Champion Course, all of them since 2007. You don't have anyone in this tournament with more than 2 top 15 finishes in the last 5 years. Again, that speaks to the variability of this venue, that you are hard-pressed to find a player that can have more than 2 top 15 finishes in the last 5 years. Now, part of that is the changing nature of the event. A lot of the players that used to come here and patronize in the late 2000s, early 2010s, they went away, right? Now they're kind of starting to come back. You get the 19 of the top 50 this year. First year new sponsor, make them happy, all that jazz. Still, you don't have a lot of players in this field who have a net positive, you know, much very positive experience. So here are all the players who have exactly 2 top 15 finishes in this tournament in the last 5 years. Daniel Berger, nope, not doing it. Russell Henley, no. Lee Hodges, nope, not doing it. Mark Hubbard, could. And May. Sungjae Im, I'm almost fighting my own impulse to bet him. Chris Kirk, including a win. Shane Lowry, loves Florida. Keith Mitchell, getting there, 17th or better in his last 2 starts. Sam Ryder, Sepp Straka, and Gary Woodland. So then you start to try to kind of balance that out with course fit, right? We talked about this being a little bit of a different course. This is a little bit more on the light end in terms of putting. Tee to green, 69%. Putting is 31%. Breaking that down a little bit more, off the tee is 15%. Approach, 31%. Something to think about. And around the green is 23%. Now, off the tee matters a little bit less here, because there are a lot of bad things that can happen, right? There's a lot of water in play. There's the rough that's kind of no joke. You got to kind of put the ball in play. But so long as you avoid the really nasty stuff, super deep rough, water, you're okay. Just get it in play. Just get it out there and get yourself a decent second shot. But also because so many players wind up in these narrow hitting areas where they're not going to hit a lot of fairway. You're just not going to stripe it on every fairway. Gaining off the tee doesn't matter quite as much. Does that make sense? Approach play matters more. And some of those things that you lose off the tee, which is usually like 18-19%, you're going to move into around the green, which is like 16-17% usually. And you add a little to the approach, and there you go. So you're going to miss a lot of greens. You're going to miss a lot of fairways. So you need, if the most successful people are going to gain as many strokes as they can on the approach when they're hitting good ones, when they have the capacity to do it. Well, some guys to think about for that: Eric Cole, Bo Hostler, Matt Wallace. Nothing really like stands out from that where you go, okay, that sounds great. There aren't many guys like that. But maybe those are guys that just kind of play well a lot of places. Like Bo Hostler's had a really nice last 14 months. Eric Cole certainly has. And those guys kind of just show up all over the place. So maybe that's what you're looking for here, but that's not a good... I don't think there's a really good way to identify a fit here this week. I mean, I did it because I do it each week. But I don't think there's a good fit for a course with a lot of random outcomes. If you're talking about a golf course where a lot of logical things happen, a lot of the same things happen year to year, you could understand the value of a course fit, right? You kind of get a prototypical winner. Here you don't get that. You can get long hitters. You get short hitters, Americans, internationals, young, old, short favorites, long shots, huge long shots. Lots of things can happen here. So I don't think course fit is particularly valuable, but there you have them. Then, getting to finish trends, right? We're trying to look at players who have had multiple top 15 finishes in the last 5 PGA Tour events played. The only guy that really stands, well, we've got 7 guys on the list with multiple top 15s, and Matt McNeely comes back here. Doug Gim is the standout, the guy in the clubhouse. He has 3, T13 at Farmers, T12 at Phoenix, T8 at Mexico. Bang, bang, bang. Been playing good. Sounds great. I do like him quite a bit this week. Eric Cole has 2, T14 at the Shorten Pebble, and T10 at Riviera. Tom Hoge, T6 at Shorten Pebble, place he's 1, and T8 Riviera, Ball Strikers Paradise. Been playing well. So I may get into Tom Hoge this week. I was texting with a buddy I don't really text golf betting with, and said he gave me his kind of first initial thoughts. I said, I may get into Tom Hoge this week. He was like, oh, well, that, I mean, and normal, I'm not a Tom Hoge better, but he's playing well. He can handle venues with lots of water. I mean, Pebble. And I mean, not as much of a play in your face at Pebble as it is at PJ National, but he's playing well. And that means he's striking the ball well, because he played well at Riv. You got to strike the ball well. So I like that. Bo Hostler, T6 at Torrey, T14 at Pebble. Been playing pretty okay. Maybe he's on the downside of that run, but he's playing pretty well. Jake Knapp, of course, T3 at Torrey and 1 Mexico. I think you have a come down from a win. It's just kind of natural. It's hard to get behind someone to win back-to-back, right? It just doesn't happen rarely. So I would stay away, but I understand the impulse. Matt McNeely, T6 in Phoenix, T13 in Mexico. Cool. Phoenix is sneaky tight. I think you can draw some correlation between TPC Scottsdale and here. I'm willing to work with that. I think Matt McNeely's moving up toward a win. I also said that last year, and he didn't do it, and he got hurt. But I think this may be a principal bet. You know, I think Ryan Fox is a better player than 110-1. I'm not convinced that Maverick McNeely is drastically better than 100-1 where he stands right now, but he's certainly better than it, probably 70-1. So if you find that number somewhere, slam it, just on principle. Andrew Novak, T8 Phoenix, T8 Mexico. You got to put your ball in play in Phoenix. I mean, he's a kind of a bomber guy, so he kind of benefits from being able to miss. But if everyone's missing, then he also benefits from missing. Does that kind of square? Because that's how the U.S. Open works. The advantage is if everyone's going to miss the fairway by a whole lot, no matter whether you're long or short, because the fairways are so narrow, then the long player still has the advantage because you're going to miss a lot. Even if marginally, you're better and more accurate if you're shorter, whatever that is. So I'm willing to kind of see a play on Novak. I'm not going to do it because I'm going to stick with my Matty Schmid out of nowhere play, but... there you have it. And just for what it's worth, Matty Schmid is not my top 70 this week. Like, there's a reason he is not in the top 70 in my model, and why he's like 350-1. So that's kind of the breakdown for the model, course fits, you know, all those types of things we typically talk about. Also want to go over some short-term trends and data that might be worthwhile to talk about. We have a couple of new tools coming out this week, just as soon as I get my act together. And that's going to be strokes gained by round and strokes gained by round by tournament. so you can see how players perform by round at a tournament. So if you want to try to make a determination around a first round leader play, you could look at both those and kind of decide. But I do want to look at the short term and look at the last 10 events played and just try to help you identify players who are playing well right now. So we're looking at trying to get players who have at least 1.2 strokes gained per round on average in the last 10 PGA Tour events played. So that's jumping back to the fall a little bit still. But tops of that table, Matthew Pavon, Ryan Palmer, Camilo Villegas. Ryan Palmer had a very nice fall. Taylor Pendrith playing well. Missed the cut last week, which was unfortunate. Jake Knapp, Torbjørn Olsen playing well. Limited set of data there, but I do like kind of the play. He does tend to just kind of play well anywhere when he's playing well. Doug Gim, double underscore for him. Erik van Rooyen, reason a lot of people like him, for good reason. Akshay Bhatia, Chesson Hadley, Jorge Campillo, Bo Hostler, Bob Garrigus, how about that? Limited play. Steven Yeager, Keith Mitchell, Carson Young. I know there are a lot of people who are thinking about betting Carson Young this week. Davis Thompson. Now, in terms of quality strokes gained, we really don't have a whole lot of people setting the bar there. It's just Pavon because he did well in back-to-back big events, right? If we want to look at approach play, players who are playing well on the approach, maybe they're just not paying it off elsewhere. You got Torbjørn Olsen, Francesco Molinari, Jake Knapp, Scott Stallings. Scott Stallings is just putting horribly. Keith Mitchell, Christian Mazadenhoyt, who is a great player off on the approach, but he's horrible around the greens, and he's just kind of net nothing between off the tee and putting. So you may like him this week. Austin Eckroat, Tom Hoagie is right in there, and he's right on the cusp, actually, of that 1.2 mark. Well, 1.2. He's at 0.9 average per round. So that's significantly off. That's 33% off. But if you want to try to see someone on the come, there's Tom Hoagie right there. He gains just a little bit off the tee. That's okay. He's a little shorter. Not the best around the greens and not the best putter. Well, putting's a reduced skill here this week, so that's fine. And around the green, if you're hitting the greens, I'm not as worried about that. That's one of those statistics where around the green I like as a statistic because it can tell you some things, but you need to gain strokes around the green if you're missing more greens, right? If you're hitting a lot of greens, you don't need that as much. So that can be a little deceptive when we do those course fits. But I think for Hoagie, if he's finding greens and he's doing okay enough off the tee, I'm very happy to go ahead and back him this week. So those are some short-term thoughts. And then I did also want to pull up, just so we can go through it because I haven't published it yet, but if we can just go through the strokes gained by round, by tournament. So I can pull that up for you. So the event this week's obviously the former Honda Classic, and we've got this SQL query that looks at strokes gained by round with a minimum this week of 4 total rounds. So you may have played this once or twice, basically. You either missed the cut twice or you got through all 4 rounds at least once. If you're looking at strokes gained in the first round, Carson Young's your man. Played 4 rounds, played great the first round last year. Pearson Coody, same deal. Justin Suh, Eric Cole, Ben Taylor. Russell Henley does gain a lot of strokes in the first round of this tournament. He struggles on Saturdays, but comes out fighting strong. So maybe a worthwhile pick. Shane Lowry does pretty well for a guy with significant starts here. Christian Bezadenhoyt does. You know, having one tournament or 2 tournaments, I don't think necessarily tells you all that much, but Taylor Pendrith does get out to a decent start here, so maybe some guys to think about there. And then I wanted to do this by round, just so you can see if there's any kind of dovetail between round performance and course performance. If you look at round 1 performance, now this is everybody, right? This isn't just the tournament this week. So you kind of run down the line a little bit. Eric Cole's right in there. Cameron Young's right in there, top 2 players in the field in terms of that first round strokes gained. Justin Suh, same thing. Shane Lowry right up there. Steven Yeager, Andrew Novak right up there. So those are all some decent plays to consider as potential first round leader bets as well. I think that kind of wraps everything up for today. I don't want to just kind of drone on forever. So hopefully this was exactly what you need. Like I said, I kind of left a little bit more confused. And I think part of that was because I had these kind of principal bets based on Ryan Fox and Matty Schmidt that I'm still going to do. But then kind of came away thinking, well, what about like a Doug Gim, Tom Hoagie, Matt McNeely kind of arc? You know, Andrew Novak can kind of work. I don't really bet him, but he could work. I think you could see some more bets here this week, but I don't really like going short shots here. I just don't see a whole lot of value in it. I don't see the value in even touching Rory McIlroy. If you're getting him 7.5, 8-1, nope, whatever. Don't do that. Please don't do that. If he wins, cool. Like, live with it. But this course has too many random outcomes to just get stuck in the 20s and thinking about those guys exclusively to win. I think that's a fool's errand. I think you can find a lot of people playing this week that are 50, 60, 80, 100, even 150 and beyond that, again, they have low chances of winning, but they're totally plausible to win. And that's not just because it's been the trend this year, but just because this tournament is a little weird. So embrace it. Have some fun this week. Maybe kind of tone down the budget a little bit or tone down your unit size and go take some longer shots. Might get lucky. Might all work out for you. All right. Going to do it for us today. Tomorrow we'll talk about the LPGA in Singapore. We'll talk about LIV in Saudi Arabia. We'll talk about the SDC Championship in South Africa. We got a lot to get to in tomorrow's show. So we'll try to get it 3-5 minutes on each topic and just give you the picks. Just give you some thoughts on each tournament as we go forward. You can join Golf News Net for $40 a year over at golfnewsnet.com. Easy to sign up. Easy to get on board, get involved. Get access to all my stuff every week and all the research tools that we do. You can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy. I'm on YouTube and Facebook at Ryan Ballingy Golf. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Expecting heavy downpours all day today.
You're a builder. You build. It's literally in your job title.
Woo! Let's hit it.
A little rain isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.